This episode is brought to you by Marshmallow Surprise. It's a webcomic about awful things happening to and often unsuspecting marshmallows. It's a silly, goofy, little dark, and just plain fun for most ages. And you can find that at marshmallowsurprise.com.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 204 of the webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, where you can check out several other podcast programs and a new one coming up later this month, early next month, called First Issue, a Videocast, taking a look at print comics. Number one, starting with the new 52 from the DC Comic Universe. This week, we have a podcast about Dr. Webcomics. And with us, we have two doctors, actually. We have Dr. Jenner of DocRat at docrat.com.au. Welcome to the show.
Good day.
And we also have Dr. Carlo Jose San Juan from Callus at calluscomics.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and hello to everyone.
Peachy. Or a little punchy. It's early for me, but it's late for you guys, and I totally appreciate that that you're able to come on such... Well, technically it's really, really, really early for you guys, but it's also a different day. So this is an extra early episode of the podcast. If you missed the live version, obviously you're listening to the MP3 version right now, and so... So with that, we have, I'm going to take a look at here, we have Jenner.
Hello, thank you. Yes, it is actually 11 p.m. on Sunday night, and so I've got to get up early tomorrow morning to go to work.
Mm-hmm. And you do this comic called Doc Rat. Could you tell us a bit about a Doc Rat?
Hmm. Doc Rat is a comic that I started doing about just over five years ago, which is simply the life and times and humorous events, jokes, puns, wisecracks, and deep thoughts of a family doctor. My style has always been to do animal characters, and so these are anthropomorphic animal characters. I suppose, cutting a long story short and not boring you, my favorite animal is a rat, so I had the main character as a rat, so I called him Dr. Rat, or Doc Rat, being a pun, I suppose, because of a Doc Rat being a rat on the doc side, but aside from that, a rat who's a doc, whose name is Doc Rat. His name is Ben, and so he's Dr. Ben Rat, or Dr. Benjamin Rat, or Dr. Benjamin Rat, MBBS, RACGP, DRANZCOG. And he is a family practitioner, or a family physician, or general practitioner. In Australia, we have the usual doctor is a general practitioner, your first and usual and regular doctor. I'm a strong advocate of good quality general practice medicine, and so I draw and write a comic where Doc Rat is actually doing his job well, diligently, faithfully, and ethically. He's supported by a practice nurse called Mary Scamper. She's a rabbit. And they have a Thompson's gazelle called Giselle Thompson, who's the receptionist. And that core of three people is how it started. They have a family practice there, and they deal with and treat people who come in, of course, of all different species. Set in Australia, so it's done in the style of the Australian medical system. and done in the style of good quality family medicine. Along that line, it's sometimes there are single panel gags and puns, sometimes there are humorous comments people make, and then sometimes story arcs. And the story arcs can sometimes be very brief, or they can, in the case of one that I'm just completing now, getting to the very end of one that's been going for 6 months and has been funny at times and serious at others. It's a mix of things, but it is all about, in the end, medicine in Australia, general practice. It's about fun. It's about seriousness. It's about the joys of healing and the pain involved in healing. And in that way, it's funny at some times and superficial at some times. And at other times, I couldn't stop it from becoming very deep and thoughtful.
How long have you been doing Doc Rat?
I started in June. Well, it debuted in June 2006. So that was just over 5 years ago. That is the comic strip in its current incarnation. But in fact, I suppose you can trace some of the roots of Doc Rat back for quite a long way, back 10 years before that, when I was doing individual panels, individual gags for medical magazines, the College of General Practitioners medical magazine. I was doing just individual jokes before I'd even named him or given him a background and a legend. I was using this GP Rat character. And so that would have dated back to the early 90s that he appeared. Prior to that, I was using doing some individual gag cartoons about a hospital intern when I was fresh. Well, I didn't actually do it while I was a hospital intern because it was physically impossible, but I did it after I was a hospital intern. And I had a character called The Turn. That was, I suppose, individual panel, single panel gags about the absurdity and some of the paradoxes of what happens when you're in the completely different world, which is the hospital system.
Right.
Following that, though, I came up with the individual panel gags about Doc Rat. They grew on later on to become strips, that was where it rested for a while until I came up with my idea shortly before 2006, so late 2005, the time was right. The time had come for me to do what my heart's desire had always been, which is to do a comic strip, put it on the internet where it can be very cheap, and as such, make a massive amount of money. That final step hasn't actually happened yet, but I live in hope.
Of course. Has Doc Rat, like all the strips that you have now that are online, was it always just a webcomic, or did you have some Doc Rat, publications or like in magazines beforehand?
Yes. The Doc Rat that you see on the web now has first and foremost primarily been on the web only.
Okay.
Prior to that, the ones that were involved I was contributing one to a general practice magazine that another doctor was putting out, but not to any great extent. So first and foremost, the Doc Rat that you see on the web is a web comic. Along the way, I began releasing them about a year and a half after I had started. I began releasing them in compilation volumes and selling them by mail order with orders over the web.
Right.
And that's ticking over. Also taking them to conventions and selling them at conventions. And so every 6 months now, without fail, I've been putting out a compilation. I've now up to volume 7, and time is coming fairly soon to come out with volume 8.
Very cool.
So now they appear in there, and I have had occasional times where they've appeared in medical. They've been sort of reprinted in medical magazines.
Okay.
But it is still first and foremost primarily a web comic.
Okay. Well, when you say they've been sometimes printed in magazines, it's like particular strips or like a continuous?
Yes. For example, there's the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners have a rural branch, and the rural branch wanted me to pick out selected ones that were related to practicing medicine in the country. So any of those ones that had kangaroos or out in the bushlands or so forth, anything that was their particular subject. So
that's cool.
Sometimes a lecturer says, you know, I may have a lecturer who comes, a specialist who's an obstetrician, who says, can you give me any of your ones that relate to obstetrics so that I can do them in a presentation? Or an ear, nose and throat doctor wanted some, or a dermatologist wanted some, so that they could illustrate their lectures and stop the students from falling asleep and so forth. And and so, yes, they say, which ones have you got that relate to ear, nose and throat? And I go through and say, well, here's a selection of them.
Very cool. I want to go over to Carlo for a second here, because it sounds like you kind of had similar-ish beginnings. It sounds like, Carlo, you also had a comic in, like, your college paper, was it?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't medically related. It was a college situation comedy, but that's where Cal's comic started back in 1996. And then when I graduated from college and moved on to medical school, one of my side characters, who is Rianne, and made her the main character, and I'm a medical student, and I joined school paper in my medical school and continued Dallas Comics over there. And that's also where the whole excuse me, the whole thing where Rianne has a guardian duck started as well. Cal Duck was just mascot when I was in college. And when I got into medical school, I decided to make him her guardian and actually put him into the continuity of the story. And okay. His role in her life is to help her to discover herself and the world around her, because during the time that she was a medical student and a beginning physician, all she did was study, and she never really got the chance to learn about herself and the world around her. So he's basically helping her to become the best person she can be and the best doctor she can be as an offshoot of that.
As Jenner was talking, he said when the webcomic came out, that was, you know, the first and foremost, the start of Dr. Rat, that whole idea. You have a sort of, almost like Callus is a spin-off, so to speak, or a reverse tie-in of something that you've already have done. But as far as, like, Callus as it appears on the web, was any of that print before the web or just when you got on the web?
I definitely started coloring the comics when it was already on the web. But as for the stories where things are medically related and Rianne is trying to be a doctor, pretty much, that started when she was a medical student in my med school paper. Her being an actual, she's also a family practitioner, very similar to Dr. Rat. But her practice started when it became a comic. And that's also when I started publishing my comics daily. So I've had quite a number of adventures with Rayman as a new physician.
I do have to apologize. You're kind of coming in through like a little variantly. I don't know how we can improve your connection.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of... But it could be just your wireless
connection.
How's it
now?
How's what now?
How do I sound now?
It's something in the transmission, so I'm not sure if you can do anything with it. So unless you're like on a wireless connection.
No.
All right, then it's something we can't control. And of course, if you would like to hear a little bit more on what Carlo has basically been talking about, you can listen to our hiatus and return episode for additional information. If you can't pick out what he's saying, and I wanted to go back to storylines. I'm going to start with Jenner again. As I told you before the show. Well, I read a lot of webcomics, and a lot of times I'll bookmark comics with the intention of going back and reading the whole archive, but I don't get to do that. But I have been following Doc Rat for like a couple years, I think. And one of the things that really stands out in Doc Rat right now, because when I came on, I was like, I see a lot of like doctor puns or medical puns. But you kind of got a serious storyline going on right now. How often have you jumped into a storyline like that, especially this long?
This is the longest storyline in Doc Rat I've ever done, and I think it will be the longest. I don't think I'll do one as long again. The stories, when I've got something that needs to be worked through and resolved, I just work out the size of the amount of story that needs to be told. Think of it like making a sculpture and how big a lump of clay do you need to be able to put it together. In this particular case, the reason it was very long was I had sooner or later to tackle something that I had been avoiding and putting it off until I could put it off no longer, and that is basically that if this is a story with animals of various different species, and if some are carnivores and some are herbivores, then, and if rabbits and mice and rats breed like rabbits and mice and rats, if rabbits have 4 to 6 babies at a time and then next year have another 4 to 6 babies, you have to come to the conclusion sooner or later that some are eating some.
Right. So you're establishing rules of the world, basically. World building is what you're doing right now. You're exploring the previous, I guess, almost taboo as far as...
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, it is the big thing is that it is a separation from, well, Ben's not really doing much doctor stuff right now. You know, what's going on? And it's very interesting because your current storyline has a wolf and a rabbit that's married. And, of course, very interesting of how things are playing out. Did you have a script for this? Or are you kind of like just keep cartooning as it comes to you?
Well, if I for the actual storyline, you know, I don't have things planned out for what the storyline after this will be. But when I start a particular story arc, I know I sort of sit down and I work it all out from the beginning to the end. I knew from the beginning how it would go and how it would end. Mm-hmm. And I knew what we had to go through and what had to be resolved. Think of it again like doing a sculpture from a piece of clay, and you start off with the general form. You know what you want to do. You want to do a picture of a sculpture of a charging horse, and you start off and you get the general form of it, and then you cut out some further bits and you mold some further bits and you put it finer and finer details. Well, you haven't planned at the beginning what the exact little details will be, but you know that you'll come to them once you've got the main form done. Similarly with the story, I knew what had to be put right, and I knew how long it would take for that to be put right. And there are, I also, with my stories, I have several threads and resonating ideas. And so the story with the rabbit and the wolf is one part of it, but that resonates with the story of Ben and Daniela as well, and their issues as well. And this is all set within the having to now start to face, how can this be a story about someone who's doing what he can to heal and to save lives and to minimize mortality when they live in a world where, to a certain cultural extent, there is mortality and there are people who are, well, eating one another. It was something that I knew that would take a long time to work through to the answer, and I had to do some serious thinking to work out what the answer would be and how the answer would be. To an extent, the answer is not there all the time, and to an extent, it is the analogy to some of the major problems we face now. We face problems of overpopulation. Mm-hmm. We face paradoxes of excessive consumption and global warming at the same time as saying that we get frightened when the economy stops growing. And we have not yet come to terms with that paradox, and nor have the animals in Doc Rat come to terms yet with the paradox of wanting to live a safe and fulfilling life whilst at the same time knowing that people get killed and eaten. Mm-hmm. That was something that was difficult to come to an answer with, but it was also something in order to carve out the general shape of the story, I had to come to the answer. Now, I have come to the answer in my own mind, but the gist of the story was the characters coming to terms with their own part in that. Mm-hmm. Daniela, that's Ben's husband. Sorry, start again. Daniela, that's Ben's wife, who is also a rat. They both have past, and they both have shadows in the past. Daniela has shadows in her past. She has secrets she doesn't want anyone to talk about. And part of this is a secret that's gnawing away at her. And even though Ben doesn't do much sit-down doctoring in his office in this, I've been working very hard to make sure that healing is still taking place. Mm-hmm. At the end of this whole story, healing will have taken place. And they go through pain, they go through sadness, but I can't really help that because that's what medicine often involves. But healing does take place and Ben actively heals. Mm-hmm. Daniela is being healed. And the relationship between the wolf, that's Flopsy, and the rabbit, that's Jasmine, that is also going through stages of being healed as well. My goal at the end, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but my goal at the end is to have resolution and stronger, more capable and healed people in it. So that was a very big task. It took as long as it took. Mm-hmm. Part of this is it's like edit, faster, fast. Can you miss out this bit? Can you miss out that bit? Don't dawdle. Just keep it tight, keep it compact, and even as tightly and compactly as I can, mm-hmm. it still turned out to be a very long story. It's pretty much near the end. Mm-hmm. People, when they come to the very end, will be glad of the journey they've taken.
Cool.
But it's the biggest issue that I've had to tackle. I don't think there is any other bigger issue to tackle. So it is the longest story arc it will be. It may have to go through two volumes of Doc Rat instead of one of the books, but it is the biggest one. Because it was dealing with the deepest and the most difficult issues to grapple with.
And I'm going to try to go back and find a link to the beginning of the storyline so that when people come across this show in the archives, they're not like, where's that story that you guys were talking about? So I'll try to find a link to the beginning of that. It does sound very interesting, and it has been very interesting. Just kind of wondering what's going to happen. But we got to take a break, a quick break right now. And when we come back, more.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
And we're back. Yeah, Carlo right, knows the okay. drill.
That was a wonderful break. I loved it.
Yeah. I'm going to see if anybody has actually happened to be in our live chat here. But it's a lot earlier than usual than people are worth. People are going to come by in a couple hours like, "Hey, where's the show?" It's like, "Oh, well, it's earlier.
It's done.
It was on the site. I said early."
Yeah, and you announced it last week too, so, or a couple weeks ago, so.
Yeah. Let's see here. There were, let's see here, Carlo, you sent me an email of a few different other webcomics that had, like, doctors in it. One of them seems to be disabled, the first one, which was called Scut Monkey.
Uh-huh.
It's not there anymore.
yeah.
So I can't really mention that unless it got moved somewhere. There's another one called Dr. Cat.
Mm-hmm.
A comic about a cat who is also a doctor. Dr. Cat MD, that people could check out. And there's Therapy Tales at talesoftherapy.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm. That's more of a psychiatric kind of a comic.
And, let's see here. We have Dr. Sickbun Fred. Dr. Sickbun Fred.blogspot.com. All sorts of varying styles. Part of the reason of trying to get both of you guys on the show today was, I always have people in mind for, I got to get them on the show, but I also have this sort of, like, desire to make a topic. Because I think for a lot of times, especially with, like, people that are not, like, very widely known, that you can maybe sell a topic a little bit better than I don't really know who that is. But if you have the theme of Dr. Webcomics, it's like, wait a minute. I was going to get Callus on. It's like, wait a minute, there's this other Dr. Webcomic I read. It's Doc Rat. Oh, that'll be perfect. I can get them on the show. And then you're both like way out in the Australian time zone range. And it's like, oh, man. But I do appreciate you guys being able to stay up late and or get up really early. And let's see here. There's also this other thing that I had been thinking about. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and I would go to the doctor, and you would see, like, doctor comics or medical comics on the wall. It's like, no matter which doctor's office, you'd see, like, some sort of, like, single panel joke or pun about medicine.
Yep. I have a doctor of my own And the first time I went in and I saw he had comic strips like The Wizard of Id and so forth stuck up on the wall with different Dr. Jokes, I thought, okay, yeah, he's okay. However, every time I've been to him, he still has the same ones, and they're turning yellow now. So I thought maybe he's not sticking any new ones up. He could at least put a few Doc Rat ones up there.
Yeah, maybe you should do that. It was like, in place of the doctor's bill, maybe you could pay him. Here's some royalty free comics you could put up instead, in exchange for that bill. Sell your work.
I probably would not do that because I know what it's like to be on the receiving end. So I can't pay your bill, but here's a cabbage I grew.
Yeah, I know.
I just slice off a piece and send it to the tax man and say, yeah, I was paid in cabbages. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, here's a dozen eggs. I'll give 3 to the tax department, or maybe 4 if I haven't got a good accountant. Okay.
Yeah,
I have been paid with some pretty weird stuff.
Really?
Is the situation the same with you, Jenner? Have you been paid for the food or livestock? Or
as I was saying to you, Fess, as I am actually a doctor, the reason I use a pen name, Jenner, mm-hmm. is simply because I didn't want to risk making any of my patients feel uncomfortable, the mm-hmm. fact that they come in and tell me stuff which is important to them, you know, mm-hmm. very important to them, and to be telling it to someone who's actually well-known as a successful and famous cartoonist may make people feel uncomfortable. So I keep a firewall between my practice as a doctor and my Doc Rat comic. Obviously, and it goes probably without saying that I would never take people's confidential information and put it into a comic strip.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't want to even give that perception. But what I can do, though, is my patients all know that I like drawing, and I do, I have lots of little scraps of paper on my desk. And whenever there's a child, you know, a 5-year-old boy or girl, at the end, after looking after their sore ear or their bad tummy, I ask them, what's your favorite animal? And they'll say, lion or tiger or elephant or something like that. And I draw them a little picture and they go away. One of the most lovely things is they'll come back maybe a year later and Dad will say, oh, he's still got that picture of a tiger up on the fridge, or he's got the giraffe stuck up above his bed. And I thought, gee, you don't get much better acclaim than that a year later the picture of a giraffe is still above their bed. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Carlo, do you do anything like that? Do you draw pictures for kids?
Yeah, actually, all the time. Although in my particular specialty, I don't get that many patients who are children. But I still do see patients out of my specialties who are children. And I do tell them, you know, I do a lot of drawing and ask them what their favorite cartoons are. And being into the whole cartoon scene, because I do still watch a lot of them, I tend to be able to relate to them a lot about these cartoons, like the new Thundercats or Star Wars, the Clone Wars, and all that. And you build a good rapport with the kids, but if you have something in common, like a good cartoon or a good comic.
Right, right. Let's see here. I remember. I wanted to ask Carlo about his storylines. You've recently had some, well, deviations from actual medical practice, such as, oh, I don't know, saving the president. And then going into this mystical, magical world with talking animals, mm-hmm. and she's wielding a sword and such. explain yourself, please.
Well, around a year ago, I really didn't have that great readership, and I figured, you know, there is a fantasy side to Catalyst, wherein she does have this guardian duck, and I started thinking, where did this guy come from? What's it like in his world? And so I actually had a prequel to the storyline you just mentioned called The Land of the Guardians, and where there was a crisis in their world, and Rian, being the charge of Cal Duck, couldn't be left behind. So he had to drag her along with him, and they go through all these sorts of adventures over there. But I try to keep that world quite separated from Rian's actual world, where she does practice as the doctor and where she tries to go on dates and live her quote-unquote normal personal life. And that's, but these storylines, they do have a deeper purpose. They further her growth as a character. In all the storylines I do, whether they're based in Cal Duck's world or whether they're based in quote unquote our world, my goal in that is to further her character and to develop even the characters of the people around her. And in the case of the story that you just mentioned, I wanted Rian to have a boyfriend. And in order for that to happen, he's going to have to discover these fantastic characters in her life and the fantastic world that they come from. So, yeah, I just threw him in there and tried to see where that would lead me.
Do you, like, as I had asked Jenner, do you script ahead of time or just kind of by the seat of your pants as you cartoon?
I have a general flow of the story, and I have these little side notes of what I want to happen in this act of the story. Mm-hmm. But what does happen a lot is I tend to edit a lot of those out, like little things, because I want to maintain, since it's a daily comic strip, I want to maintain a certain energy, mm-hmm. To maintain the reader's interest. If things slow down too much in a lot of expository stuff, then the reader might not come back.
Right.
But it also, you know, I also find it kind of slow on my part to draw these less energetic scenes, although some of them are a bit more important than others. So in order to maintain a certain flow, a certain energy per day, I do edit a lot of that stuff out. But yeah, to answer your question, not exactly a script, because the dialogue I do write as I draw. Mm-hmm. But the actual direction of the story, what I want to happen, these storylines have a goal in the end, what I want my characters to come with their own experience. So the means to that end, it can deviate from what I originally wrote, but more or less, yeah, I do have a general direction.
Awesome.
Thanks.
I don't think I have too many more questions. I think we actually burned through a whole lot of them. but is there anything else either of you guys would like to mention or say or cover?
You haven't asked me why I draw it with animals instead of people. I'm often asked that.
People on the show know that I'm somewhat of a furry fan. I do like animal comics. I grew up with Looney Tunes, and so it's easy for me. But I suppose some people don't understand that. So why do you make your comic with animals?
Mm. You do ask the hard questions, don't you? What I can say is I don't know about other people, but it has always worked for me. Even before there was such a thing as fairy fandom, I was drawing. I connected with animal characters just as much as I would connect with human characters. And I suppose when you're reading things like Asterix and so forth, they don't really look very human anyway. Even human characters in comics don't always look very human. But there's something about animals which you can use as the essence of the personality. The best I can think about it is taking reality apart bit by bit, looking at the component parts and then reassembling them. And if you have the personality of someone in an animal, then you can use that to explore different ideas that you couldn't quite explore if you used things if you used people directly. I mean, for example, the way this has led, for example, is to in this particular case, a male wolf and a female rabbit who are married against sort of all cultural traditions. It's like an intermarriage between people from two completely separate cultures, both of which don't trust one another. And one, could, if I was trying to write a story about a Jew marrying an Arab or something else like that, I would probably get it entirely wrong, and I'd have people saying, "Oh, I must pick you up on this bit. You know, we don't, we Jews don't actually do it this way. We do it that way. You got that bit wrong, and you got that language wrong." And I would rather actually have something where I can equally well look at the same principles of how do people get on with one another without. Without having to get all the details right of the things that I'm not always completely fully versed in. And I can look at that, and I can then also look at other things, creating the cultures. The rabbits have a very secret culture. Is that good? Is that bad? Then there are the good bits and the bad bits. The wolves have a very pack-minded, aggressive culture, boisterous culture. And that has its good parts and its bad parts, mm-hmm. and so forth. Rats have another sort of culture altogether, which is a more, they don't really have much of a background. They've sort of lost their background, but they're just basically survivors in the nooks and the cracks here and there, and so mm-hmm. forth. I'm not trying to do a complete allegory the way that Arch Spiegelman did in Mouse, where these animals represent this nationality and those animals mm-hmm. represent that nationality. It's a little bit more like Terry Pratchett, I suppose, where I'm saying, well, here is the basic modeling clay mm-hmm. and here are the general principles. With my experience of how you deal with these and how you solve problems, how am I going to solve the problems that I've put in front of my characters here? And using animals gives you something that's familiar mm-hmm. and at the same time something that's unfamiliar, something where you can put things together in different ways put them in ways that will help you understand a little bit more the problems we face in our own lives, maybe having been viewed from a slightly different angle.
Plus, animals do provide you the opportunity to do more puns.
Yeah, oh yes, yes. I do stretch reality a bit, so you can have enormous lobster walking in, or on one occasion even a blue whale came into his consulting room. Only 2/3 of the blue whale would fit, and the tail had to go down the... How the blue whale got there, I don't know. And I think...
Took a cab.
I allow people to suspend disbelief a little bit.
For the sake of the joke.
Yes, for the sake of the for the fact that you can have flies and mosquitoes sitting on the waiting room chair next to an elephant and have them proportionally the same size, disproportionately, or yes, you do push it a little bit. I have an Australian comic strip that I follow called Swamp, done by Gary Clark. That's www.swamp.com.au, I think. That's simply just a joke a day, one with the same characters, but they've got ducks in the swamp, they've got frogs, they've got flies, they've got rats and so forth. And this is Australia, so if you know about the crocodile hunting tours where you'll go on a boat and you'll go through where the crocodile normally lives, and the guide will hold out a chicken on a pole and the croc will come and swim up and grab the chicken on the pole and all the tourists will take photographs and so forth. And in this particular case, the chicken on the there's always a different chicken on the pole, and it's always looking forward to its brief moment in show business. And one day when the crocodile was sleeping in, the chicken got quite annoyed because he or she had missed her chance in show business. There's another series where they've got lobsters in tanks in a restaurant, and they're always having some way of tricking one another so that the other lobster gets taken and taken away and cooked and eaten, and the main lobster doesn't. Oop. I mean, it's pretty horrible, pretty horrendous, but very, very funny.
Oh, yes, very funny. Death is hilarious. Mm.
I must give a plug to my very favorite webcomic, which is End Town by Aaron Nethery. Mm-hmm. Mm, that's anthropomorphic too. It's got animals in it. But in a way, some people have described that as being a soulmate with Doc Rat as well, because it's partly funny, but also bittersweet at other times as well. I love it.
Oh, I forgot to write down the notes. What was the name of the one you were just talking about before End Town?
Swamp.
Swamp.
Hang on.
Okay. I haven't been writing notes down here, but I'm making sure I got
it. www.swamp.com.au.
Well, alrighty. I'll get those in the show notes for those who are interested.
If you want to know what Doc Rat strip to start off with to follow this current story line, I would recommend number 1220, which is titled Babies on Board.
All right. Very good. And I'll be sure to let everybody know that so that they can follow along as they wish. I did want to jump over to Carlo real quick, and I'm not sure if you've mentioned these other aspects yet. I know you have in the Hiatus and Return episode, but you don't just have this one duck that's a guardian. You got several other furry characters in there.
It sort of parallels Rianne's path to self-discovery. Cat Duck is actually a new guardian duck. It's his first time to be one, and so hence Rianne is his first charge. So he happens to also have his three other on the job mentors with him, and so Rianne ended up with not just one garden duck, but four, and they're teaching her actual garden duck how to be a garden duck. And but the thing about them is they're not invisible, so it kind of hampers Rianne's ability to live a normal life with them, so she pretty much requested that they just stay at home while she lives a normal life outside the house. But every now and then, they put hoodies on, go out to town with her, and watch movies and whatnot. But Rianne is trying to keep them secret, so it's nice, I guess, for a reader to be privy to the secret life of Rianne Nika. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And a little bit interesting if she ever gets a boyfriend and then has to explain things.
Yeah.
Cannon fodder for more storylines and drama, I suppose. But I think we are at the end of this episode. We covered a lot of information on both of your works, and I do appreciate you both once again for being able to be on at this time. We're going to go ahead and say goodbye to both of you, and then I'll just do the news you guys don't even need to be around for after this, so you guys can get some sleep because you have jobs. So once again, we've had Dr. Jenner from docrat.com.au. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much too, Fess.
And we have also had Dr. Carlo Jose San Juan, MD, from Callus at calluscomics.com. You got that whole name there.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And I guess that is it. News is next, and we take one final break, and we bid our guests adieu.
Now, you're going to want to prepare yourselves for this one. Now, this is an intervention. Now, you're sitting there with all your attitude, but there is no chicken in that Tupperware. Pull your damn pants up. Now, you got quite a mouth on you, Junior. Now, how many children you going to have out of wedlock before you realize that the TiVo has got to go?
You need advice, baby, oh so bad. You need a doctor who gets raving mad.
Now,
don't need no touchy-feely PhD. You need the kind you find on your TV.
You understand where I'm going with this, don't you?
They call me Dr. Phil. If I can't cure you, no one will.
You are playing with your life. You understand that, don't you? Do not judge me till you walked a mile in my shoes wearing my wife's panties.
And even though I'm full of shit, thanks to Oprah, I'm a great big hit.
Now,
I'm on the air, there's nothing you can do.
Now,
it's tough love until my face turns blue.
Now,
you're on your knees for my remedies. You need an earful of my expertise. Yes, I know what your problem is. The first step of the cure is showbiz.
Now, how's that working for you?
So come.
Depend on you, and you are ugly as sin. If you don't get that nose fixed, no one's gonna talk to you. I hardly want to talk to you.
They call me Dr. Phil.
They call me Dr. Phil.
I got an hour to kill.
Now, the Bible, which I have read and underlined, as the Bible says, if the cat's juggling, it does not a magic show make. You think you're the hottest thing since bologna came out of an aerosol can. Now, I got news for you. You think that I'm uncool, I don't know what I'm talking about. I got news for you. I've been your age. I know what it's like. My wife Robin got more sense. Now, how's that working for you? I've come home with my Easter eggs not in my basket, if you catch my drift. Now, these kids look up to you. Lord knows why. Now, you think you're sitting there, you got all the answers. Now, how's that working for you? What is the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is 2 plus 2 does not equal Y.
They call me.
Now, I got my potatoes in a sling just like any other man.
I got mad head shrinking skills.
Communication is the antibiotics that will cure the crap of your marriage. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now, I guarantee
they
you. My wife, Robin, she makes me pee sitting down. When you have a relationship, there's got to be give and take.
Open my mouth and let it spin.
You gotta be willing to take a strap on. You gotta be willing to give up your. This little girl, she looks up to you. She's depending on you for guidance. Now me, on the other hand, I'm looking at you for ratings. Now that's just the way it is. Now if you're gonna butter your bread, you gotta know which side is facing south. They call me Dr. Phil. Now you know my wife, she ain't putting up with it. I hardly put up with it. I hardly put up with me. Since I married my wife, whom I adore, I hardly put up with me. They call me Dr. Phil. They call me Dr. Phil. Well, they do.
That was Calling Dr. Phil by Steve Goody, found at the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. Okay, so that was, basically Dr. Webcomics for here on the Webcomic Beacon. I don't think I introduced myself at the top of the show. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and I do have a few notes, of which I want to go over, and... I want to say that I was on Animation Aficionados a couple of weeks ago, and I embarrassed the hell out of myself by the end. You can listen. Animation Aficionados is an affiliate of the Webcast Beacon Network, and you can go to animationaficionados.com and check out the episode on Reboot. Yes, that's right. Reboot, the first... the first CGI series ever made, and also the first program, the first series sold to the U.S. from Canada, as well. So you can check that out. I also want to mention I was at GeekCon the past weekend, and for those that we had a little bit of a mix up on some of the podcasts last week, if go ahead and check out the Webcomic Beacon newscast for September 11th, that came out really late in the week. And I also, while at GeekCon, I recorded a panel by John Kovalik, who talked about the 10th and 15th anniversary of Munchkin and his comic Dork Tower. And so you go ahead and listen to that. It's basically, I just recorded it, and then the podcast is the Webcomic Beacon presents John Kovalik's panel on himself, basically. So it's pretty cool, especially if you are a fan of Munchkin and or Dork Tower. So go ahead and check that out. John Kovalik also writes for a print comic called Dr. Blink, Superhero Shrink. And they're working on Chris Jones does the artwork, and Melissa Kircher is the colorist, and I think there's somebody else that also works on. There's a Twitter that is out there for Dr. Blink, and I think that's somebody else who writes a lot of those. There's a few people on the team, but those are the main ones that I know of, and they are looking to have a web presence. And I think they're going to have, like, the first issue downloadable or something. But they're going to have a web presence as soon as they can get things rolling again. So that's something to look out for, and I'll probably mention it again. I was at GeekCon with Ryan Dow, who does Introspective Comics. I sold him half of the full table that I bought, so we kind of had a road trip. GeekCon was really mostly an anime and gamer convention. Really big... anime fan base, huge gaming room. I've never seen anything like it. It was pretty awesome, but does not do well for the type of comics that me and Ryan had. So it wasn't a really great con for us to have a table there, as in most everything was like anime and manga related stuff. But there were a couple of other web cartoonists there. Urban Fay, I met the people that do Urban Fay, as well as Marsha Mello. Surprise! Well, they didn't have a table there, but they showed I forget her name, but she showed up and said hi to me and Ryan, and so that was really cool to meet her. And she sponsored an episode before. That was pretty cool. And so I don't know what else to say. My co-host did not show up. They did not wake up. Maybe I should have sent them an email earlier to remind them. So apologies for that, that they are not around. But let's see here. Let's look at the calendar. We're going to see what we have coming up on the Webcomic Beacon podcast. And let me just go and open up my calendar on Google. And let's see here. We have, this week, next week. The 25th of September, we should be having Josh Lesnick on the show, who does Girly. Also does some, basically runs Slipshine. And on October 2nd, we should have Xavier Xerxes of Comics Talk. On the 16th, on the 16th of October, we're planning the End of the World podcast. And the idea for that is it's going to be... I want to try to find web comics that are basically about the end of the world, because it's supposedly that's when the quote unquote physical rapture is going to happen and whatever. So we better get prepared, because it's going to happen, I think, on Friday, the 21st of October or something, whatever. Haven't decided what we're going to do for the 23rd. October yet. I think I do. Let me check it real quick. Let's see here. I got my monthly scheduling here, and let's see, 23rd. Oh yes, I think Tanya's going to be doing a show on preparing for and handling yourself at a convention. It's been a while since we had a convention episode, so we're going to do that again. On the 30th of October, we are hoping to have Dave Chabet. I'm very sorry. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Dave, or a.k.a. Riley, of Dead Winter. We wanted to get him on last year, and things just didn't pan out. So hopefully we can get him this year in time for Halloween. So that'd be really, really great. And then in November, nothing scheduled yet, but December 4th. 2011, we are going to be having the 4th anniversary special. I'm hoping to make it a big episode. And we did recently, well, I revised the contribute page of the Webcast Beacon Network. If you go to webcastbeacon.com/contribute, you can see what I'm talking about. There is a section on there, which is you can... It's under printed book reviews, if you go to that. And it basically says that we will gladly accept review copies of printed versions of their comics. This is not limited to people that do webcomic to print. If you have basically print-only comics, we will gladly accept submissions for review. We stopped doing webcomic reviews for a variety of reasons. Partly because of, you know, of how webcomics are, there is, you know, there's no bar of entry. And we don't want to be mean, but we did just get a lot of webcomics that we didn't really want to be mean sounding or whatever. So we sugarcoated the reviews a lot. Maybe didn't say as much as we should have for, like, a real proper review or a critique, if you will. So that, among some other reasons, were why we discontinued doing webcomic reviews. One of the other reasons was it just was an amount of time that just wasn't there. But if you're printing, you've got a sort of a self bar set for this is good enough to print. And if you're gonna submit it for a review, you're like, I'm confident enough in my own work to submit this actually for a review. So basically, do not submit if you are not willing to have a fully honest review. They're not going to be mean spirited. We're going to be picking things out on purpose for merely comedic or entertainment value. Because if you've listened to the show, you know that we hate that. Just picking apart people's work, especially when you're like independent. In a self-published in a situation, it's like that doesn't help anybody. But there will also not be sugar-coated reviews. And anyone who does submit print versions of the comics for review, they will be used as giveaways or prizes in contests or such. So anything between now and December 4th. That we receive for review will be used for the 4th anniversary special of the Webcomic Beacon as giveaways or prizes or something. I haven't figured it out just yet, but you can go ahead and send us stuff. And so it's a win-win-win situation. You win for getting some exposure for your work, as well as WeWin for being able to help promote the our own show by having giveaways in which that readers can win by getting something. So there is a P.O. Box, Festworks LLC, P.O. Box 22181, Robbinsdale, Minnesota 55422, and you can go to webcastbeacon.com/contact, and I believe that information is there as well. If not, it will be soon. You can also send an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. If you have any questions, just put a book review in the title, so that we know what's going on with that. Sorry, no non-comic work accepted at this time, like if you publish your own novel and things like that, as far as like the Web Fiction World podcast is concerned. The issue with that is that reading novels is much more of a time constraint, and but it might be something we'll look into in the future if we can work that out. So just basically comic books at this time. Otherwise, if you have any other questions or ideas, there's the email as well. And in general, if you have anything that you would like to submit for us to give away or have a prize or whatnot for the fourth anniversary special, you can certainly get a contact us and send something to our P.O. Box. I'm looking to make the fourth anniversary of the Webcomic Beacon very special. It sounds like I'm going to get some people from the Funny Music Project, aka The Fump, for this show. I'm going to try to get at least one stripper for the show. She does this comic called Pink Parts, so it's legit. I think that is it. Once again, I apologize that our co-hosts could not be here today. Some mix-up in the schedule, but they should be here the next time we record, and which should be next week. I think that's it. I think I'm just... I don't know. I think I'm done. So that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, a part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. Check out the Webcomic Beacon newscast. Honestly, if you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon, you should be listening to the Webcomic Beacon newscast with Ross Scott, Alex Heberling, and guests. Ross gets on fairly frequently, and of course, Eric of Blade Bunny, because he sold Xern. He doesn't own Xern anymore. So we're going to get a new website for him. So you won't be able to drink by spelling out EXIERN.com anymore. But you should be checking out the Webcomic Beacon newscast, because they recap and comment on news that happens throughout the week that could affect webcomics and digital comic distribution and such. It's things of interest, and you should check it out. Subscribe to the RSS feed, or just subscribe to the Webcast Beacon Network main feed for either iTunes or RSS, and that way you can get all the shows, including Web Fiction World and the Tropecast once it comes back, as well as the brand new show coming up called First Issue from the Webcomic Beacon, in which Marcus Omland, Melissa Kircher, and I are going to review number one issues of print comics, mainly of the mainstream comics right now, starting with the New 52 from DC. In a couple of weeks, so we're going to start recording, basically doing reviews of whether or not number one issues or first issues of storylines succeed in selling the reader to actually buy the next issue. So it should be of interest. It'll be a trial by fire. If it goes beyond the New 52, it'll be very exciting, I think. But we are committed to do the New 52 at the very least. It'll be firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com is where it is. But like I said, just subscribe to the Webcast Beacon Network main feed and you won't miss a thing. That is all from me, and I really should just shut up now. Fest from festworks.com. See you later.